Hi, I'm thinking of getting another tattoo to go with my raging dragon one.
Sure. What are you looking for?
Well, maybe something like a...
Bunnies! He wants a row of bunny rabbits with twitchy noses.
Your vote is your voice, so don't let others decide for you.
All holding giant flowers.
Who's that?
Ella. She works in the bank next door.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Too cute. And write Sarah on it.
Cute? I'm a martial arts champion. And my boyfriend's name is Jack.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on the Indo Daily, getting down and dirty. Are personal attacks in Irish politics now fair game?
Their politicians in the Dáil are constantly trying to attack us personally and bully us and do us down on the government benches. And every now and then, I think you have to stand up to bullies.
Last week, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar locked horns with Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty in an exchange that had people both shocked and entertained. But was this war of words an isolated incident or an indication of a new nasty streak in Irish politics?
I really thought somebody who, in which the DPP is currently assessing whether they'll prosecute you under the Corruption Act, maybe you would be a bit more humble in relation to your response.
Deputy, I think that was another cheap shot.
As the political battlefield moves more and more into the online world, is it all for show?
Personalised attacks on senior politicians who are not popular with the public, it does work, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today on the Indo Daily, we ask if Irish politics is getting nastier. Or has it always been this way?
Well, all due respect and the most unparliamentary language, please. Fuck you, Deputy Stagg. Fuck you.
Joining me today are Hugh O'Connell, political correspondent with the Irish and Sunday Independent, and Dr. Jennifer Kavanagh, lecturer in law at the South East Technological University. Hugh O'Connell, context is everything in these rows. Give us the background to what got Leo Varadkar and Piers Doherty so wound up last week.
So it was during leaders' questions when Piers Doherty, in passing, at the beginning, raised the issue of a dinner that Leo Varadkar had hosted for former Fine Gael members of Cabinet and indeed current Fine Gael members of Cabinet the previous evening in Leinster House to mark a decade of Fine Gael in power. Piers Doherty said that
so whilst you toasted your own success in government last night, the reality is that many families out there are being pushed to the brinks. And let me tell you this, Taoiseach, the last thing they're thinking about is raising a glass to Fine Gael's success, because what they're worried about is how they can get to the end of the week. How they're worried about is how they will pay the bills at the end of the month.
Leo Varadkar took this to be a cheap shot, as he described it in the Dáil, and he pointed out that Sinn Féin is not averse to hosting dinners.
You host dinners in America, you charge people $1,000 a plate to attend, and your party leader flies first class to get there. That's what you do in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
He also pointed out that in some instances, Mary Lou McDonald flies first class
to
these dinners.
And that led us into the row over criminal records or non-criminal records, as
yeah.
It was.
And I really thought somebody who, in which the DPP is currently assessing whether they'll prosecute you under the Corruption Act, maybe you would be a bit more humble in relation to your response.
Deputy, I think that was another cheap shot and a very personal shot, and it says a lot about you. It says a lot about you and the nature and the character of the kind of person you are, and it's particularly strange coming from you because you were prosecuted. You abused, mistreated a Garda Síochána. For that, you were prosecuted.
You sit in Leinster House most days of the week. You've sat through leaders' questions for years at this stage. Like, were you surprised? A lot is being made out of this particular spat. Were you surprised at the level of personal attack?
I was. I think that, you know, what Piers Doherty tried to do was say, you know, you should be a bit more humble because you're being investigated under the Corruption Act, or you were being investigated under the Corruption Act, and that is being considered. This is over the GP contract leak story. And Leo Varadkar brought up something I think that a lot of people wouldn't have been aware of, was the fact that in 1998, in the late 90s, Piers Doherty had a run-in with the guards, benefited from the Probation Act, and but was prosecuted nonetheless. And I think that that's something that a lot of people would have been surprised would be raised, and something that I think that was quite personalised, both on the part of Piers Doherty in some instances, but certainly Leo Varadkar bringing up something that not an awful lot of people would be aware of. I mean, everyone in the country knows that Leo Varadkar has been investigated by an Garda Síochána for alleged breaches of the Corruption Act. Not a lot of people would have known that Piers Doherty was under investigation, or had a run in with the guards 2 decades ago. And I think that it's something that everyone who was watching was really taken aback by, the level of kind of vitriolic exchanges between the two politicians. And it was certainly something I think that Fine Gael were trying to, it was a conscious attempt by Fine Gael to try and demean Sinn Féin, and to try and debase Sinn Féin, and to try and portray
them
as...
Now, Leo Varadkar has said it was self-defence. Do you buy that explanation for it? He suggested that
whether it's their supporters online, or their supporters on the streets, or their politicians in the Dáil are constantly trying to attack us personally and bully us and do us down on the government benches, and every now and then I think you have to stand up to bullies.
And his own party did seem to enjoy the spectacle.
Certainly it was red meat for the Fine Gael blue shirts. I think they enjoyed his attack. I think they enjoyed him getting personalised about Doherty, about drawing up Sinn Féin's links with the IRA, drawing up Sinn Féin's links, some members of Sinn Féin having criminal backgrounds, having had been in prison. All these kinds of things, I think, were red meat for Fine Gaelers. Do I think that it was overly personalised? I don't think so. I think that's the cut and thrust of politics, but it was certainly quite severe.
The cut and thrust of politics, Jennifer Kavanagh. Does that mean this is where we are? This is the political climate that we live in, and this is what we now constitute as normal politics?
Well, there's always been massive arguments and leaders' questions. I would agree with you, though, it was a little bit more personal, more cutting than you normally would see. But leaders' questions is often paused. I remember even being in the public gallery myself, where it was a case that Mary Lou MacDonald herself was told, you know, you need to kind of calm yourself down there. And she said she wasn't. And the entire leaders' questions was actually delayed, and by about 10 minutes. So these things often happen, even going back to the MMDS, which was your local person trying to provide local cable services. There was absolute ructions in the Dáil. Even ministers being alleged that they were handmaids of the telecommunications companies and everything. So it's always been something that has happened in leaders' questions, and it's probably the one that everyone is told, look, if you want to go into the Dáil and have a look, always go in for leaders' questions, because that's always a little bit more spicy. And I mean, it's the same world over with any questions to leaders, like PMQs in London and everything. That's where you have people basically tearing strips out of each other. But for the whole way that politics actually runs, if you were to explain this to, say, a Martian who had just come down, what's actually going on and how is this fixing what's important to people, they wouldn't understand how any of this is going to fix any of it. And Hugh's right, it does play well for the political supporters. But if you were to try and win an election on your basic demographic that would support your party, you're never going to win. It's getting the people, the floating voters, who kind of go with the wind. A lot of them would be turned off by that kind of, they would look at it as theatrics in leaders' questions, and it can tend to turn people off politics as well.
Jennifer, is it getting more intense though? Because we're in a political situation now where Sinn Féin are riding high in the polls, and they seem uncatchable for all intents and purposes when you compare to where Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil are. So is that driving part of this? We see it time and again. There was another example where Leo Varadkar attacked Piers Doherty, suggesting that the balaclava had slipped.
Deputy, when it comes to Sinn Féin and the rule of law, Taoiseach, and public order, Deputy and Brennan condemning Brennan violence, it doesn't take very long for your balaclava to slip.
Taoiseach. Yes. And there's two things driving this. As you said, it's seeing Sinn Féin doing so well in the polls and trying to make themselves catch up with them. But the other bit as well is social media. They all want the nice couple of second clips that look like a knockout blow on the opposition. So it's two things that are really driving this. The social media, getting your little bit of clickbait.
Tell me about the social media thing, because I am fascinated by that, because even, I mean, Sinn Féin, they didn't invent it, but by God, they are good at it. And they clip the 90 seconds bit where you don't get to see the response from the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste or whoever it is. You just get the bit where Mary Lou MacDonald is saying the government is doing nothing for cost of living, and off it goes and it gets all its retweet. At the same time, Fine Gael had clipped that row, which Leo Varadkar says he regrets, within an hour, and it was up on social media, his attack on Piers Doherty. So a lot of it is for show, is it?
I honestly think it is. I mean, before, when it was just your normal TV news, there, you know, other people were doing the editorial, and also for the newspapers, just trying to get that catchy little line that every journalist up in the press gallery is going to go, God, I love that. That's brilliant. Stick that in the paper. But I mean, as you said, Mary Lou MacDonald will be saying, you know, the government's doing nothing for cost of living, but could be saying apples, oranges and bananas afterwards, because you never see the context. And it's the best way I can describe it is if you think of that Simpsons episode where the gummy Venus de Milo was stuck on the babysitter when she was getting out of the car. The way that they were able to just edit it. Now, I'm just saying for social media, just being able to edit it to make him look absolutely terrible when the context was completely lost of the entire issue. And that, look, it's the way to look at it is, think of an election as a war. Your general war was the ground war, knocking on the doors, getting out, talking to people. You now have an aerial war, which is your social media. But bear in mind, there's only about 10 to 15% of people in Ireland that are actually on Twitter. There's less on Snapchat, there's less on TikTok, there's less on Instagram. But it's the younger people that they want to get involved in politics, especially Sinn Féin, because they do get an enormous amount of support with the under 35s. And I could see that growing as well with the cost of living. But it's just getting that little nugget that is perfect that you want to go viral. You're right, they didn't invent it, but they do seem to be perfecting it.
Hugh, take it away from Sinn Féin for a second, because it does infect other areas of the Dáil, but there are certain politicians who seem to have a particular dislike for each other. And I'm thinking, again, to some extent, perhaps Leo comes into this, but also Micheál Martin, the Healy Rays.
Yeah, the Healy Rays are a robust political force in Kerry and across the country. And I think they use the national platform that the Dáil affords them to, as you say, get under the skin of certain high-profile politicians, not least the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste.
I was reliably informed through the chair that Deputy Healy Ray approached people outside a mass to say, I can get you on the bus if you want a cataract. The woman concerned said,
you should take that back! You're a disgrace! You're only in the bottom of the barrel now! Can we open that cataract?
The Taoiseach, I think, you know, finds it quite difficult to put up with what the Healy Rays are saying in the Dáil, and their kind of relentless negativity and their relentless sort of portrayal of Micheál Martin and others in government as sort of out of touch with the needs of working people and the needs of the people of Kerry and elsewhere. We saw this particularly particularly vitriolic exchange, I think, between Leo and Michael Healy Ray in the Dáil earlier this year, where the Tánaiste hit out at the Kerry TD's use of the word airy fairy.
And it's not nice what you said to me either, Deputy, just there, quite frankly. Reflect on it and think about it. Just think about what you said, okay? But think about what you said. Think about what you said.
What have you said? Are you not exactly what I said?
No. Reflect on it. Think about it. Come back here tomorrow or the next day and take it back if you want to.
Michael Healy Ray argues that he uses this word all the time. Leo Varadkar took it to have a different meaning and suggested it could be homophobic, and he demanded an apology. And Michael Healy Ray did not apologise and was quite defensive of it on RTÉ's Liveline. So, you know, I think that there are certain politicians in the Dáil who really do get under the skin of the senior politicians. And you're right, there are, I suppose, exchanges between Mary Lou and MacDonald and Micheál Martin in the Dáil, which give this impression that they actually really don't get on. They really don't like each other. And there is a real needle there in their exchanges. And it was the same when Leo Varadkar was Taoiseach and he was going up against Mary Lou MacDonald. There's a real feeling that these two people, they don't get each other. They don't like each other. And even though in the case of Leo Varadkar and Mary Lou MacDonald, they come from not dissimilar backgrounds, privately educated, a lifetime in politics. But still, they really don't like each other. And you can see that in their Dáil exchanges.
I think one of the standout contributions in this current Dáil was Duncan Smith, the new Labour TD, who took on the Healy Rays. And I think he would have been cheered by some in the government benches, even though he himself is on the opposition benches for his speech.
I remember as a kid in the 80s, having to take any work going, hanging doors and fingers just to put a roof over our head and food on the table. I remember that. I spent my teenage years working on sites filling skips. Today, are they driving the Mercedes into their big plant hire shops, walking past all their machineries worth hundreds of thousands to count all their money, or to count up all their property? You had your chance. You had your chance. Sit down, Deputy Chair. I did not come in.
Deputy Smith has the floor. Please let him conclude.
I have the floor. So I'm not going to be lectured on understanding workers. I don't have to put on a political costume and a caricature to pretend I'm working class like some. They do.
But going back, Hugh, and picking up on your point about, say, Mary Lou MacDonald and Leo Varadkar disliking each other, I'm reminded that it's not that long ago there was a huge furore over Leo Varadkar suggesting that Micheál Martin was like the priest at the back of the altar.
He kind of reminds me of one of those parish priests who preaches from the altar, telling us to avoid sin while secretly going behind the altar and engaging in any amount of sin himself.
And then within months, Hugh, you have Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin coming together in a coalition, seeming to get on relatively well, going out and batting for each other in public all the time now, as you have to do in a coalition. So how much of this is real? And look, I walked the corridors for Leinster House. I've seen lads go at hammer and tongs, either in a TV studio or in the Dáil, and then 20 minutes later, you wander down and you see them in the Dáil bar having a cup of tea.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's different for different politicians, but you know, you referenced the sinning priest exchange there between Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin, and we heard a little bit of it there. I think, you know, that is a sign really of the extent to which politicians can always put their differences behind them. The exchanges between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar were particularly nasty, I think, over the 3-4 years of confidence and supply, much more so than between Enda Kenny and Micheál Martin, for example, because the two were of a similar political generation, whereas Micheál Martin used to constantly refer to Leo Varadkar in this spin and no substance to what he was doing in government. And then within a year of those remarks by Leo Varadkar, the two were in coalition together, Taoiseach and Taoiseach. They'd agreed to be Taoiseach and Taoiseach and then to rotate in 2 years' time so that Micheál Martin becomes Taoiseach and Leo Varadkar becomes Taoiseach. So politicians, you know, they can, as you say, there can be really sharp exchanges in the Dáil, and in some instances you really do detect an actual dislike of each other. But equally, no matter how vitriolic it gets in the chamber, you know, if there's a need for power and a desire for power and a desire to get things done in government, then politicians can always find a way to work together. And we've seen that down through history in Ireland. Political parties that we thought would never go into government with each other going into government with each other. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is obviously the most recent and a classic example, the two civil war parties putting their differences aside and forming a coalition with each other. But go back to the early 90s or the late 80s, the PDs and Fianna Fáil, Desi O'Malley and Charlie Haughey, sworn enemies, they managed to go into government together as well.
Jennifer, how much has politics being debased, and I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm going to use it anyway, by what we see to the left and the right of us? And I don't mean that in terms of ideology. I mean it in terms of UK politics over the last 5-6 years and American politics over the last 5-6 years.
My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure...
Has what we would view as acceptable behaviour or acceptable language changed based on the likes of Boris Johnson and Donald Trump and then just seeped in here?
Yeah, well, Definitely with the what you would see on, going back to social media, the kind of narratives, the clickbaits, the little the hashtags and the like, that's certainly coming in. But I would always say that the Irish electorate are that little bit more well-educated and self-confident than what would be going on in the UK and the US. And it comes back to our use of referendums, because we are used to looking at big issues, making decisions, knowing that they're binding and knowing that we have to live with the consequences. With us being such a relatively new country, like we're only coming up to our, we're only at the 100th anniversary, we do know that if things get too polarised, things can go downhill very, very quickly, because we all have grandparents, great-grandparents that would have been on one side or another of what was going on, and we know we don't want to go back there. So we are that bit more used to it. We're in the period of commemoration. So from that, we can see the theatrics of it, we can see the fun of it, but we also understand there's a very serious point behind this too.
Are the public shocked by any of it, Jennifer? Like, it's not new either. I'm reminded of Bertie Ahern and his Wafflers comments back in the day.
Nobody's smoke screening. Perhaps that. If you stop waffling, we might get some work done. They're a waffler.
Yeah. It's not new, because look, you know, you've the satirical shows, you've the one that's on at the moment, which the Healy Ray is too great on, and I think that does actually help brand Healy Ray, if nothing else. But we've had Scrap Saturday as well, and I think we do see the fun of it, but we also know when things start getting serious and when a line has been crossed as well.
Hugh, finally, is it going to continue like this now? Have we got another 2 years onto the next election of this sort of headline-grabbing politics? It's not quite in the territory of Paul Gogarty, but it's not 100 miles away from it.
No, I think all of the main political parties have seen that the strategy has to be to try and get a tax in on your opponents, and then try and clip it and put it across social media to try and find favour with maybe new cohorts of voters, younger people, reaching out beyond traditional media platforms to try and get people to take an interest in what it is they're talking about.
Does it work though? Does it translate to votes?
I guess we'll find out. I mean, if we were to go off the results of the 2020 election, certainly Sinn Féin's very slick social media campaign, which was far better than anything Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil put together. They spent less money. It was far more organic. They were able to get more votes. I mean, that's the reality of it. And they were able to win a record number of seats for the party and become the third major political force in the state. And I think that is evidence that those kind of attacks work, that kind of personalised attacks on senior politicians who are not popular with the public. It does work. And I think we're going to see a lot more of it.
Hugh O'Connell and Jennifer Kavanagh, thank you very much. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, researched by Gareth Mulhall, recorded by Gavin Hennessy, with sound design by John Smith. Archive clips were from independent.ie, News Talk Breakfast, and RTE's Morning Ireland. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.